Let's read together Proverbs chapter 30, verses 21 through 33. Now, in these last verses of Proverbs chapter 30, we have further wise sayings from Agur, the inspired writer of Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning now with verse 21. For three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, an unloved woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers, or conies, are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider, or lizard, skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. There are three things which are majestic in pace. Yes, four, which are stately in walk. A lion, which is mighty among beasts, and does not turn away from any. A greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Let's begin our study of this portion of Proverbs 30 with some background notes. Now, for our background notes, let's consider the last verse of the chapter, verse 33. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing or wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Is it possible that there is someone here this morning who does not understand the first line of this proverb, for as the churning of milk produces butter? I dare say that there are probably some young people in our church fellowship that don't know what churning butter is all about. Well, now, what's the point of the proverb? Notice, by the way, that this is emblematic parallelism, and there are two word pictures which illustrate the last line of anger producing strife. There is the word picture of churning milk to produce butter, and there is the word picture of pressing or wringing the nose to bring forth blood. The idea in both churning milk and pressing the nose or wringing the nose is agitation. In one case, agitation produces butter, and in the other case, agitation produces blood. In the same way, agitation or stirring up anger will eventually produce strife. That's the point of the proverb. Constant criticism and angry comments and bad-mouthing and nitpicking and finding fault with every little thing will result in strife. A word to the wise is sufficient. Let's move now once again to our doctrinal point for Proverbs 30. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. Verse 21. For three things the earth is perturbed, yes, for four it cannot bear up. Here we obviously have figurative language. In fact, we have hyperbole, purposeful exaggeration to get across your point. The point, of course, is that the four items which will be mentioned don't literally cause earthquakes, but are so unbearable and insufferable that they really shake up the order of life and cause great social turmoil. Now, remember the under three, yes, under four literary style of presenting these four situations does not mean that an exhaustive list is intended. Now, what are the four unbearable situations that are selected? The first two are in verse 22. For a servant when he reigns, and a fool when he is filled up with food. Watch out when a former servant type gets the power and authority of a king. There's a good chance that you will face a merciless tyrant. Hitler was a good example of the truth of this proverb. And watch out when a fool who becomes prosperous, that's the idea here in the phrase satisfied or filled with food, watch out when a fool becomes prosperous. Before he became prosperous, the fool's sphere of damage was limited. With prosperity, the fool can cause greater disruption and chaos. In verse 23, we have the third and fourth selected unbearable social situations. Verse 23, an unloved woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. Now, the phrase unloved woman could be translated or paraphrased as hateful woman or mean-spirited woman. This kind of woman in a marriage will certainly cause dysfunction, not only in the immediate family, but in the extended family as well. And watch out when a maid somehow usurps the place and position of her mistress. We get a glimpse of the truth of this condition of social turmoil when we read about the relationship between Hagar and Sarah in Genesis chapters 16 and 21. Let's read these scriptures. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 16, beginning with verse 4. So Abraham went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when Sarah saw that Hagar had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, Hagar fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Hagar said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to Hagar, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. From Genesis chapter 16, verses 4 through 9. And also from Genesis chapter 21, beginning with verse 8. So Isaac grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. From Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 11. Now notice how all four of these unbearable social situations in verses 22 and 23 here involve human pride in some way. Now in verses 24 through 28, in contrast to the four selected unbearable social situations associated with human arrogance, we have four selected small, humble creatures functioning efficiently without pride, as God designed them to function. Let's read these verses. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning now with verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers or conies are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider, or lizard, skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. You know, many good Sunday school talks have been given from these verses, and the lessons are good for all ages. The lesson of wisdom from the ant is, don't be lazy, and do prepare for the future. And this has plenty of spiritual application, including laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:20. The Lord Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. From Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. The lesson of wisdom from the rock badgers or conies is, know your limitations and find your security in a sure and solid shelter. Now, in your Sunday school talk on this little animal, I hope you would apply this to salvation and finding shelter and security in Christ, the solid rock. The lesson of wisdom from the locusts is cooperate with others and move forward with order. What a great lesson for the body of Christ. We can move forward like a mighty army when we cooperate as believers under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. And the lesson of wisdom from the spider, which is better translated lizard, is don't be surprised at the access that you may have to high and mighty places. The spiritual lesson is obvious. Even though we as believers in general don't have a lot of clout, God can open doors for us to influence even world leaders. Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in Babylon are prime biblical examples. Now, finally, in verses 29 through 31 of Proverbs 30, Agur gives a description of three animals that God created with a certain noble and dignified majesty, and then the description of a king in royal military splendor. Let's read verses 29 through 31. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning now with verse 29. There are three things which are majestic in pace. Yes, four which are stately in walk. A lion which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any. A greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. These four illustrations also help describe life in this world and help us appreciate God as creator. All four have lessons concerning good leadership qualities. There is the strong and brave lion, the king of the beasts. There is the graceful greyhound, probably a better translation in the context than a strutting rooster. There is the male goat. Male goats were used to lead flocks of sheep in that day. And then there is the powerful and fearless king marching with his loyal army. This last description certainly reminds us of the return of the Lord to the earth with his loyal army. That's us, to establish his kingdom. Read Revelation chapter 19 in this connection. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. And that brings us to our practical application, which will come from verse 32. Start now. Start now. Start what now? Well, look at verse 32. Let's read this verse. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. Now let me loosely paraphrase this verse with application. Quote, if you have been foolish in exalting yourself, and we have all been in that category at one time or another, and maybe still are, or if you have devised or planned or plotted evil in any way, and maybe you're still doing it, then start now by putting your hand over your mouth. That is, stop it now. End of quote. Very practical. Let's examine our lives in the light of this scripture and start now.